Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. Yes, I'm excited. Are you guys excited as much as I am?
Yes. Jenny is yawning so hard.
Nobody could see that.
She's watching a football
That's
game.
That's why I had to say it.
For the new listeners, we are a weekly film podcast where we pick a topic and then we discuss, argue, sometimes fight with our fists. So we make lists and we talk about movies. That's what we do. That's our bag. I'm one of your hosts, Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
There you go. Sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. Today, we don't. But today we're talking about, since it's a month of horror films, we're talking about horror films. That's what we're talking about. Guys, have you guys been watching anything? Anything new in theaters?
I saw something on Netflix the other day, finally.
What did you see?
I finally watched Charade.
Charade?
And?
Charade.
Do you have a little more respect for Audrey Hepburn now?
Yes, actually. I really do. I kind of thought she was like... I mean, I liked her because
of
who she was.
You thought she was a Streisand?
Yeah, I was just like, she's just
all... Hey, what's
all...
wrong with Streisand? Nothing. I love Yentl.
No, she's funny. She's a funny person.
So you liked it?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good.
Nice. Anything else you saw?
No, I don't think so.
Did you finish, what was the movie you were watching the other day?
Oh, no.
Once Upon a Time in the West.
I did not finish that. I could not do that.
Kevin, did you see anything new?
I saw Lawless and Paranorman.
Where are they?
Paranorman I loved. I absolutely loved it. And it really made me want to sit down and make a stop motion animated film.
Nice.
Lawless I liked. I see what Adam was saying and how it was a little too slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because they threw in, there was way too much going on. It should have actually been a longer movie if they wanted to throw in all the storylines that they did.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I would have gladly sat.
Yeah, I would have gladly sat through a longer movie. I think they should have made it longer because there were too many storylines that were just kind of pointless at times.
Yeah.
Like all the love stories. But I still liked it. And... Tom Hardy is great.
Yeah. Well, I feel like everybody was great. I feel like you're right. They should have taken a little more time. It could have been like, I could have sat through like a 2-hour and 45-minute movie.
Oh, easily.
Because the actors are so good and entertaining. And I could have seen Shia LaBeouf's storyline, love story, develop a little more.
Yeah. I mean, it felt rushed. Like they didn't devote enough time to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cricket. I love Cricket. Do you guys remember him from
Chronicle?
Yeah.
Chronicle.
Yeah. And then what else? Yeah, and then like Gary Oldman was in it for like 2 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm like okay.
Yeah.
When I got to the end of the movie, I was like, so well, I mean, I understand he's a great actor and he was playing an interesting character, but why have that one person in there at all?
I agree. Anything else you saw, Kevin?
No. Nope. That's it.
Adam.
I haven't. I haven't made it out to the theater. I've been busy with work, so I haven't had a chance. I've been watching a lot of Netflix. A lot of westerns that our previous guest, Mr. Rick Maddox, recommended.
Yeah.
Watched all of Lonesome Dove, which was great.
Yeah.
As he said. And Red River, which I also loved.
Did you watch Rio Bravo?
I watched Rio Bravo also. Yeah. Great film. I just had like a little John Wayne fest.
Nice. I saw, this episode is going to be airing a little bit later. This episode will be airing in the first, second week of October. So, I saw, it's a little late, but we'll talk about it. I saw The Master, and I loved it. It was just the right kind of slow.
Still, the right kind of slow.
Yeah.
So not quite short bus slow.
No.
Okay.
It was very still, a still kind of film. But yeah, I really enjoyed it, and some of the best performances of the year. So I'll wait for you guys to see it, and then we'll discuss it in depth. But
do you definitely recommend seeing it in film?
Yes. In film, you mean in theaters?
Instead of digital.
70mm?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, check it out. I know the ArcLight.
What do you call it? You don't call it film?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't know what you were asking. I'm sorry.
Where are they showing it in film?
The only place I know is the ArcLight, the dome, and they're showing it in 70mm. And I know they're only going to do the first week or two.
Oh crap! I gotta then see it.
And then they're gonna still keep it in 70, but they're gonna move it to the small theater. So okay. You're not getting, the grand scale of it. But it looked great. I had like really good seats. I got the middle of like the first row of the balcony. So there were perfect seats.
That's the
best. Right?
Best in the dome. That's where I always try to get.
Isn't that when you get the seats, you're like, and you look at people around you and they're looking at you like, when did he get his tickets? Yeah. And I'm like,
a year ago.
Yeah, dicks. I got them at midnight when they went on sale.
You feel like Laurence Olivier in Spartacus, where you can just like thumbs up or thumbs down the movie because everyone's looking at you.
You feel like
right center.
You feel like a shipping heir. Like you could buy any white woman. but yeah, so anyway, it was really good and I enjoyed it. So. Check that out. Anything else you guys have seen? Netflix videos? Any new discoveries? We should have a new segment called New Discoveries. Like something that's old that you like found on Netflix or something. Like, Jenny, you're getting a lot of those, a lot of new discoveries where you're like, oh, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. I got to catch up.
Yeah.
Well, like, I think Lonesome Dove would fall into that category for me. That was a new discovery for me.
Well, yeah.
It's on Netflix right now. I don't know if it still will be by the time this episode is airing. But as of right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good miniseries. How many hours is that? I forgot. Like eight?
No. It's actually more like six.
Really?
Yeah. Like an hour and a half times four.
Okay. Okay. That's not bad. Get it done in like a week.
In a day and a half.
No, I mean if you don't have a lot of time.
If you're like a normal person.
Yeah.
With priorities and things to do. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Then a week.
Yeah. all right. What else? What else we have to do? So we did the stream of the week.
We didn't do
stream of the week. So the stream of the week is since we're doing horror theme, we're doing the friend of the podcast who was here a couple months ago. He was here promoting Conception. Sorry, and the director and writer of Conception. Josh Stolberg and the movie he wrote, horror movie, Piranha, is on streaming. So check that out. It is on streaming. It's a Piranha remake. So check that out if you get a chance. And Conception is out on DVD. By the time this episode is out, it'll be out on DVD. So check it out. My girlfriend has a small part in it, Michelle Coyle. Check it out. What's up? She uses rollerblades in it. I'm like, is she going to fall? Is she going to fall? No, she didn't fall.
You ruined it.
I know. Sorry.
Spoiler alert.
That's the only reason people are going to watch it.
They're like, is she going to fall or not? But yeah, so check that out. What else? Anything else?
Not that I can think of.
No.
The Adam Scott that people think I am is in Piranha.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not me.
So they might think, oh, is that guy from the podcast?
I am not in Piranha. The other Adam Scott's in Piranha. Not the golf playing Adam Scott.
No. So check that out, Piranha. Piranha, it's not in 3D because Netflix hasn't figured out how to stream 3D.
That'd be crazy if they could stream 3D.
That'd be interesting. But then you have to buy a 3D TV. Probably a waste of money.
I don't understand it. Why can't it just be in 3D?
Yeah.
My DVD player can play 3D.
Why
doesn't my TV just know?
The only time 3D has worked, and I've seen it work and it looks awesome, is in video games.
Yeah, I don't really care about 3D. I was joking. I have no...
Yeah. Well, I have no interest in 3D film, but I'm saying, like, I've seen a couple of video games played in 3D, and I'm like, whoa, this is definitely, like, adds a different layer.
I'm pretty sure I'd have a seizure if I tried to play a video game in 3D.
I played Call of Duty in 3D.
Or it'd be like...
It's pretty crazy.
What's that William Hurt, Ken Russell movie where he goes into the isolation chamber?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what is that movie?
Someone's yelling at the podcast. They're like, you idiot.
You should know what this is. You're talking about horror movies.
You're gonna be like The Fly.
You're
going to come out of the video game. You're going to be all deformed. Your ears are going to be falling off.
Yeah, that could actually happen. Yeah. It'll be like when the baboon went through.
Your nose is all...
Altered states.
Altered states.
Altered states. Right. I feel like if I played a video game in 3D, it'd be like in Altered States when they come out. Like I'd either turn into like a beast or be like at the end of Altered States where you're like, just shit goes crazy.
Yeah. That could happen to you.
That's why I'm not going to play a video game in 3D.
Yeah. So stream of the week done into the list. Should we get into it?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We're talking about horror films. Jenny, who's going to go first? Jenny, are you going to go first?
I'll go first.
Thank you, Jenny.
You're welcome. Okay, so my number five, I went with... So we were trying to do ones that we hadn't done before because we all kind of like horror movies. We tried to... We'd done a list called the favorite ghost, you know, films and stuff. So we're trying to do ones that aren't obvious and kind of whatever. Anyways, so, yeah, just so, thought I'd bring that up.
Well, yeah, so if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I want a ghost movie for to play during Halloween, go back and listen to our ghost episode.
Mm-hmm. Or listen to my list.
Various horror-themed lists.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so check
can
out.
Can we do slasher lists after this? Like just could. Slasher movies?
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Because that would make it easier for me to make this list. Just take all the slasher movies off.
We'll take the slasher movies off now. Maybe we'll do that episode next week. So, Jenny.
All right, so my number five is 2002's 28 Days Later.
Ooh, nice.
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 Well played.
Yeah, it's
not a slasher movie.
Not a slasher movie. It's a fantastic zombie movie. I love everyone in it. Cillian Murphy. Is it Naomi Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the two main ones. Everyone else kind of is in and out. But Cillian Murphy I love. He's a fantastic actor. It's a great... Isn't it? Now I can't remember. I don't want to say it. Is it a good soundtrack? I feel like yes, it's a good soundtrack. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I've listened to it. But yeah, it's a good soundtrack. It's a good storyline. It's really interesting. It's not only zombie. It goes like crazy into what happens to people once civilization's gone. Like all the army guys, once they get to the military base, it's intense and crazy.
Which I'm guessing you haven't seen Day of the Dead.
No, I've never seen Day of the Dead.
I think you'd like Day of the Dead.
Would I?
Mm-hmm. If you like the military aspect of this movie.
I don't know that I liked the military aspect. I thought it was okay. But it was just an interesting way that it, I mean, take on it. Yeah, like they went from it just being a regular zombie movie to adding all that extra into it that you don't really see in many zombie movies, you know?
Yeah.
It's mostly just the people against zombies. In this case, it was like the people against the people
mm-hmm.
and also zombies. So it was kind of interesting.
I'm going to make a Spanish remake of Day of the Dead called Dia de los Muertos.
I think someone probably already beat you to do that. Have you tried to watch the new... It's not even, I don't even consider it a remake of Day of the Dead. The new Day of the Dead.
I saw a clip of it.
It's by the guy that...
Mina Suvari.
And Mina Suvari.
Yeah.
God awful.
Oh.
Who did it? Who made it?
It's the guy who wrote one of the Friday the 13th. I think he wrote Friday the 13th Part 2.
Hmm.
Wait, is it also the guy who did Lake Placid?
Did he do Lake Placid? I just remember he wrote one of the Friday the 13th. I don't think it was part... It was one of the lesser Friday the 13th, I want to say. So...
It was a minor.
A minor.
Yeah.
Steve Miner?
Steve Miner, yeah. That's the guy who did Lake Placid.
So it literally was a minor.
Literally. But yeah, you know what? 28 Days Later, I really like... And it was one of the first movies to shoot in digital, the XL1.
Well, it's the movie that made Danny Boyle never go back to film.
Millions wasn't shot?
No,
Millions
it was digital. Yeah, well, I mean, they did some film stuff for bigger things. But he's talking about... If you haven't seen Side by Side, he talks at great length.
About this movie.
And very, very... passionately and convincingly about the pros of using film.
Yeah.
But nice. Again, with sort of a sad disdain at the fact that he can't use film when he would like to.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were right. Steve Miner did do Lake Placid, and I was right. It was Friday the 13th Part 2.
Oh, nice. So yeah. So good number five pick. My number five is from 1987, and it is called Dolls. Just Dolls. Not The Dolls. Not just Dolls. Have you anybody seen this?
I've seen Dolls.
Yes, I have. It's been a little while, but I've seen it.
Pretty creepy. I don't know how it holds up now. I haven't seen it recently.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, yeah. Based on the fact that it's your number five, I'm pretty sure you haven't seen it recently.
Yeah. It's...
I enjoy it, but top five.
Yeah.
Top five based on the fact that you have to leave stuff that you've already used off of this list.
Yes, yes.
Still.
That's
a stretch.
He loves dolls.
I love dolls.
Apparently so.
No, quite the opposite. I hate dolls. That's why this movie freaks me out.
Why is this room filled with dolls then?
They're
just staring at us. Those lifeless eyes. Those dolls' eyes.
So let me describe what dolls is. So basically, all these different groups of strangers get stranded in this, like...
A dollhouse, if you will.
Basically, yeah. So it's this house with this old couple. And they have dolls like in every room, every hallway, everywhere there's dolls. And so there's these like three different groups, three or four groups of strangers, like there's a guy with a little girl, right? And then there's like the couple, like that they're like kind of like con artists.
Yeah.
I feel. And then there's another group, the punk rocker chick. So there's like these three groups of people that get stranded, and they end up at this house with the doll makers, this couple, old couple. And they all basically, whoever's not nice to the dolls or has like an innocent, you know, heart, gets killed basically by these dolls. And then you later see them become dolls. So like the punk rocker chick, you eventually see that she's become a doll too. And then at the end, there's also like a little like cliffhanger where it's like the sequel or something. But I remember as a kid, this movie freaked me out because my sister had dolls and my mom also had those like the porcelain dolls. And those are freaking freaky.
They are freaky.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
Why would you collect that? I don't know. It doesn't make
just
any sense
to mess
to
with
me.
People. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just a sadistic They're thing scary. Where you just like to see people with their flesh crawling as they look at your doll collection.
That's true.
I enjoyed dolls originally. But it never creeped me out as much as this book as I read as a kid, The Dollhouse Murders.
Oh,
anybody know that book?
No.
It's about like the there was a murder in this house and only the dolls know that it happened. And so the dolls in this dollhouse keep reenacting the murder, trying to get people to like realize what has happened in the house. It's great. It's creepy. Oh, wow.
Reenacting with real awesome. People?
No, the dolls, like the doll is like dolls where the dolls are alive and they can do things. But they're trying to help. They're trying to show the people that someone committed
murder. So they do it to like another doll. They're like, this is what it looked like.
It's like you come in and the dollhouse has a crime scene laid out, and it was like, oh hey, why are these dolls laid out like someone killed someone in here?
Oh my god, that's creepy. I'd be like, throw the dolls out, kill them.
Yeah, I guess I just always loved horror because I read that when I was like 8, 7 or 8. Creepy.
See, the thing about horror for me, I don't know for you guys, but what scares me most is things that are around my house that resemble, like if I see a movie, I'm like, oh, I have that. I've seen that. Like a thing that got me, this isn't in this movie, but you remember in the movie Signs, the M. Night Shyamalan, when he sees the alien through the reflection of the TV?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we used to have an old TV, and every time I went to turn it off, I was always scared. So when I saw Signs, I'm like, oh my god, that's happened to me a million times where you turn off the TV and you see a reflection, and you're like, oh, what is that? And it's a doll. Like my sister left a doll on the couch. So it always, that stuff, like anything that resembles like my real life, it freaks me out, and dolls freak the
I'm
shit
still
out of me.
Scared to this day to pick my face up from washing it in the sink, pick it up and look in the mirror and see something.
Or when you close the mirror.
Yes, every time. I still am scared of that every time.
Do you have a really big bathroom? My bathroom's not big enough to do that.
No, it's not big. It's just like, it doesn't make any sense at all.
They literally have to be in your back.
Yeah, they have to be touching me. Like, I'd feel them first, probably. doesn't make any sense.
See, mine is the shower thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Like, I have to check the shower when I, like, go into the bathroom. And then when I'm in the shower, I'm worried that someone's going to come into the bathroom.
Yeah.
I have the same thing, depending on what kind of shower. Like, the shower I have in my apartment now. It's one of those clear door ones.
Mm-hmm.
It has a door and it's kind of like frosted glass, so you could kind of see if there's anybody in there. But Kevin, when I used to crash at Kevin's all the time, Kevin's house, and Kevin had a curtain, and that always when I went to you know go pee or something, it always freaked me out, and I would have to check that. I'm like, I just want to leave it open,
make sure no one's here.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely could.
It's just like in wasn't that American Horror Story?
Yes.
Where it was
yes.
like, here, piggy, or something like that. Oh, my God. Yeah, I was like, yep, that's the part.
Yeah.
That's it.
Definitely the medicine cabinet thing. For a while, I would turn around, close the mirror, then turn back and look at the mirror. So I knew nothing would pop up.
But then it can just mess with you where your reflection comes alive and strangles you.
Oh.
Yes. But also, the medicine cabinet thing doesn't work very well because then I saw a movie called House. I don't know if it's in your list, but Kevin knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When the guy breaks the glass on the medicine cabinet and it leads to a different portal. That's creepy too.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Okay, what about the Are You Afraid of the Dark episode where the guy steals your life through the mirrors?
That's
my
right.
God.
Yeah, I don't mess around with
mirrors
that.
Mirrors are worse than dolls.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my number five. Dolls.
I don't even remember what we were
talking. I know. Where are we right now?
We're at dolls, my number five. So Kevin.
So I think the whole moral is if you make a movie with mirrors and dolls, it's going to be a really creepy movie.
And children.
All right. So I need to write a movie right now called The Doll in the Mirror.
The Doll. Yeah.
The Spanish Kid with a Doll in a Mirror. The Spanish Kid.
The Spanish.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
Okay, so my number five is from 2005, and it's The Descent.
Ooh, oh, that's one of my honorable mentions.
Yeah.
I love this movie. This movie scares me before any creature becomes involved in the movie because I can get very claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Have we talked about this one before? I feel like it's come up.
We talked about it during our test episode.
Oh.
Because it was on my list.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The lost episode.
The lost episode.
It's not lost as much as it was just the episode we did. We did to test, to do like a dry run for the first episode of the podcast that never aired. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I mean, I think so. I'm guessing on that episode, we talked about how you didn't even need the monsters to show up. It's just
exactly
creepy on its own.
Yeah. It's really creepy.
Yeah.
The thing with this is I'm not claustrophobic when it comes to like apartments or like if I'm inside a closet or an elevator. But see, now you're dealing with nature, mm-hmm. and now you're dealing with like, well, if there's a little earthquake, we're fucked and we can't get out. And like, there's no one to call. There's no reception. Like, there's many variables involved that are going to go wrong for you to like not like, and it's also like not a fast death. It's not like, oh, a killer is going to come behind me and stab me. Well, I'm dead. I rest in peace, you know? I'm happily sleeping the slumber of death. But but no, if you get encased in a tomb, you're going to slowly die.
You're just
gonna really painfully.
Yeah.
That's worse. I'd rather the killer stab me. So
you know, a stabbing is technically a slow death, too, depending on how
I know, but at least I could bleed out and I'll be done in a couple hours. Whereas the slow death of days... And hunger, yeah. I don't. And then the headaches.
I think the stabbing would be a little more painful, though.
I don't know.
How about both of them would suck?
Yeah. They would both suck.
How about getting bludgeoned to death?
That would also suck.
That would suck too.
I want that one.
Speaking of death, I once walked in on a conversation.
Speaking of death,
I walked in on a conversation. Okay. And I don't know where I was. Somebody was talking to one of my cousins. And the guy, I walked into the conversation and he's like, and that's why I'd want to be strangled to death. Right? And I'm like, whoa, how did you guys start? What's going
I'm
on?
Sorry. That's why I would want to be or don't
want
to be.
That's why I would be want. I want to be strangled to death.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, this guy, I guess he was drunk and he was strangled by the police, subdued. And he's like, I just passed out. He's like, and if he would have kept going, would have died.
That's not a strangle. That's the sleeper hold. I think this guy just doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, maybe. But that's the point is that I never ever want to walk into conversation.
Strangulation is like the worst way to die.
Yeah.
Like the sleeper hold, you just pass out.
I guess so. But then can't somebody just strangle you while you're passed out and then you die?
Okay, so you want specifically before someone strangles you, like, wait. Put me in a sleeper hold first, then strangle me. I think if anyone's committed to strangling you, they don't care if you're comfortable.
if you're being strangled, don't you pass out first?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Because strangulation is cutting off the air. When you put the sleeper hold, it's cutting off the blood to your brain, so you just pass out.
All right, so next movie.
Now we're talking about death.
So if you want to put somebody to sleep, just cut off the blood to their brain. If you want to strangle them.
The sleeper hold doesn't kill you. That's not death. That's just putting them to sleep. I mean, unless you permanently do it.
Okay, The Descent. Sorry. We're way off topic. The Descent.
Yes, The Descent. So the whole beginning of the movie is them cave diving. And it's just scary because when Sarah gets caught in that one point and just the look on her face and she starts crying and she feels she's going to be trapped in this cave in this little small crevice until she dies. And then these creatures come and the way they move is really creepy. The way how they look is really creepy. Yeah. And I mean, then I also just love badass chick movies, and badass chicks fighting creatures is pretty awesome as well.
Yeah, and they're pretty good looking, so it doesn't hurt.
And the ending that the director's cut ending is amazing. The American ending is
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Just for the ones because I've heard that people like to hear the synopsis. So really quickly, 20 Days Later is a dude wakes up. And it's the middle of, it's like nobody's around and he's got to figure out what's happening. And it's basically the zombie apocalypse, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from a guy that wakes up from, it's kind of like Walking Dead, kind of.
From a coma or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And dolls, like I said, people get stranded in a house. dolls start to kill them. And The Descent is...
The Descent is a woman who is dealing with a death in her past. Her friends kind of take her out, go camping and cave diving, kind of like a girl's weekend. And one of their friends leads them on a cave that's never been touched before. And they come across some things that have been living in the cave for a while.
Yeah. And was it me or... I don't know if I heard it in a commentary or something, but weren't they... The explanation was that they were like old, like pre-Civil War, like pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
And that they got stuck.
Kind of evolved.
Right. And they evolved into...
Yeah.
They evolved because they couldn't see daylight and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
How are they still alive?
They would eat each other and creatures, and that's why they're all like mutants too.
Well, and there's that one point of the cave where it's just skeleton, like animal skeletons. Yeah. So they've been feasting on like deer and stuff like that.
But I mean, like, how are they still alive? Like, they reproduce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because remember, there's a woman.
They're like the Molochs in the time machine. They've just been stuck underground for such a long time.
Yeah.
Although I feel like the Molochs had a bit more time to evolve into creatures than the dudes if it was from the Civil War.
Yeah.
That's a really quick evolution.
I don't know if it was like pre... Like,
it was like evolution on crack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good movie. I like it.
Yeah, it is.
It's definite honorable mention.
Yes.
I got to rearrange my list right now. Hold on.
Adam?
I just said I got to rearrange my list.
Well, you got to
talk about sleeper holds a little bit more.
You got to give us
your had great stories about strangling people.
All right. I'm just going to cheat then for my number five. It's a tie. 1931 and 1935. Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein.
Good movies.
Good movies. Bride of Frankenstein is so good.
Yeah. I think Bride of Frankenstein is better than Frankenstein, but Frankenstein is, I mean, it's the first one. It's Frankenstein. It's so good. Both James Whale. Frankenstein is one of my favorite stories. I mean, do I really need to synopsize Frankenstein? It's
no.
Victor Frankenstein wants to create life.
Yeah.
And it goes terribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second one, they want to give him a wife.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's got needs, you know?
Yeah. Everybody's got needs.
Yeah.
Boris Karloff is my favorite Frankenstein, I think, followed closely by...
Peter Boyle?
Peter
Boyle?
Not Peter Boyle. I guess he
could sing and dance.
I'm talking about original Frankensteins. But yes, so in the canon of Frankensteins, it goes Boris Karloff, Peter Boyle, Lon Chaney Jr.
Okay.
Lon Chaney Jr. is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like his Frankenstein. But yeah, I mean, I just love these movies so much. I have the whole Universal Frankenstein Legacy series. That's like my Halloween tradition now. I can watch Frankenstein endlessly.
Nice. We'll see another Universal monster on this list, I think.
Obviously.
Yes.
Alrighty then.
Jenny?
Okay. Oops. All right. So my number four is from 1981, and it's The Evil Dead.
Yes.
Honorable mention.
I remembered you put this on your list, Jenny, so I didn't put it on my list.
I thought I might have. I couldn't remember if I had.
One or two?
One, I haven't seen two.
Oh, okay.
I think you'll
love two once you see two.
I've heard the second one's better. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah,
it's pretty much a remake of one. It's a little funnier.
The second one is intentionally funny.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the first one is meant to be scary. It's a scary movie. Yeah. Whereas the second one is they're having a lot of fun and laughs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe the second one wouldn't be as horror, as comedy horror.
Yeah.
It's like comedy horror.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I love Evil Dead. I love like all the tricks and it's just such a good, like when you're first getting into filmmaking and, or like just like writing or something, like it's such a good, like it's simple. It's like, hey, we have a cabin. Okay. Let's write a fucking horror movie.
It definitely just makes you want to go out to the middle of the woods, find a cabin and shoot a movie.
Yeah.
That in and of itself kind of sounds like it could be a plot for a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about this off mic.
Yes. Yeah.
synopsis, friends go up to a cabin and release demons in the area, and they got to fight off these demons, right?
I mean, yes.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Old school horror movie
and
type stuff.
And it stars the man.
Bruce Campbell.
Yes.
The chin.
Bruce Campbell.
The chin, yeah.
Yeah. I love his book. Have you guys read his book?
If Chins Could Kill.
Yeah.
I haven't read it. It's on my list. It's on my list of books to read.
It is so funny and like just informative, and like you even like get some really good like stories about like the Coen brothers and stuff, because it was the same circles and stuff. So it's really awesome to read. Awesome read.
It's yeah, he's really interesting. I went to a Q&A for Bubba Hotep when it first came out.
Oh, and he was so funny.
He was great. I mean, he's just a lot of fun, and he's just like standing up and walking around and talking and just telling stories. And
I bet he would be a great guy to be around.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just seems awesome.
Probably
to
a great
hang out
guy
with.
To have a beer with.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So good number four, man, we're making some good progress here. No more strangulation talk. Number four is from 1931, and this is my favorite of the Universal monsters, and it's Dracula.
I thought this would be higher on your list.
Yeah. I changed it around cause there's some stuff that I recently rewatched and I was like, whoa, this is pretty, I remember how scared I was where this was more like, I don't know. This movie is like, this movie could just be a classic film, period.
Yeah.
It's not even a horror movie, you know?
Yeah.
Same with Frankenstein.
Yeah, I love Frankenstein, but at no point did Frankenstein ever really scare me.
Yes.
But it was considered a horror movie at the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
It's just a good film. Like, yeah. Both those movies are just good films, period. And if you get the DVD for Dracula, there's two versions of it. There's a Spanish version, too.
Which I've heard is better.
Yeah, well, look at, like, the direction of the Spanish one is way better because they would film at night and they'd kind of have to be done. Like the English version had priority. Mm-hmm. So the English one would shoot in the daylight hours and then the night crew would come in and it would be the Spanish version. And with it, you know, Mexican actor and everything. But the thing is that the guy directing the Mexican one took more risks because there wasn't really executives kind of like hanging out and like people from the studio. So, mm-hmm. Like there's like really, really like innovative shots in that one where you're like, whoa, like what's going on? Like this, I thought this shot was like from the 80s, but no, like this guy's like doing like some amazing camera work and it's in Dracula of all movies. So, I wish the director of the Spanish one had directed the American one.
Not a Todd Browning fan.
I am. I'm just saying like I just. Strictly for filmmaking purposes, like he was taking some really cool risks and you know they paid off but I mean the actor that plays Dracula in the it does not compare
you
to,
saw what happened to Todd Browning when he finally did take risks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't work out so well for him. I mean, great movie, but
yeah,
career wise
yeah,
not so good. But yeah, Dracula, 1931, Bela Lugosi is amazing. And didn't the Boris Karloff and him not good friends apparently? So that's my number four.
But I mean, it's okay because they both created iconic characters of their own.
Yeah, yeah.
And since you're talking about Frankenstein and Dracula and how they're not necessarily horror, they're not going to necessarily scare you. But I think they're the films that really establish like building an atmosphere for a horror film. And I think there's a lot of new films that come out these days that don't really focus on atmosphere. And I think that's the genius of a lot of the great horror films is that they build this atmosphere and that just sits with you more. And it lingers when you walk out of the theater that is sitting with you, where instead of these cheap thrills and these cheap scares that you forget as soon as they're over, you walk out of the theater and you're scared because of what they created and built throughout the entire film.
I feel like a lot of movies on this list have really good... except for Dolls. I'll go ahead and put Dolls out of it. I haven't seen it in a long time. But they have really good replay value.
Yeah.
Meaning like you take movies like newer horror movies, like they have a lot of cheap scares. So once you know where the cheap scare is, it doesn't affect you. So it's not a good movie to rewatch again and again. Where these movies are just good films, period, to start off with. So they're good, they have good replay value. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
But yeah, so, and they also set, like, the world, well, what's that, Jen? You're like, no, that makes no fucking sense.
No, nothing, sorry.
She was distracted.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like a lot of the new movies, like, they don't even set, like, the rules of the world properly, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it also comes down to characterization.
Yeah.
Like, when there's... characters who you like and empathize with, and I feel like a lot of movies in general today have unlikable characters who I don't empathize with. So I mean, I think that's especially bad for a horror movie,
because
how am I supposed to be scared for these people?
Exactly, if you want them to die,
it's like, oh, just kill these fuckers.
That was one of the big things with like VHS. It was like some of these a lot of the characters in the film, you're like, okay, well, let's just kill these people.
Yeah, like,
off,
will you hurry up really and eat this guy already?
Yeah, I don't really care about them. He's an asshole.
Yeah, this girl's a whore. Let's just kill her off. Just spreading STDs all over the place. So yeah, and I've never been a fan of like the torture porn like type, like Hostel.
I've come to appreciate some of the movies more than others.
Yeah.
At first, I didn't like. I mean, especially talking about unlikable characters. I think there's a good way to do that where you're specifically saying something about, like, you're making a statement with the characters being unlikable, which is why I've come to like movies like Cabin Fever and Hostel and Saw more. I hated them originally, but after rewatching them and kind of looking at them in a different light, I'm like, okay, I get it. I see it. I enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
And I take all three of those movies over VHS.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah. I haven't seen Hostel since it came out, so I have to rewatch it again.
I did. I really liked it, and I really enjoyed Hostel 2. I haven't seen Hostel 3 yet.
I've only seen the first two as well. Yeah. The second one's way more
brutal
than the first
Gory.
One, for sure.
Yeah.
Seen the first Saw, though. I haven't seen the rest of the Saws.
Well, my girlfriend loves the Saw movies. She has all of them except for the newest one, the last two. But so I kind of got sucked into rewatching them, and
I enjoy them. Yeah, I don't mind them. Yeah. I like them.
Of course, I've also had the burden of watching many other bad movies since I first saw Saw. So
you saw helps. Saw?
I saw Saw.
Saw.
All right. Well, yeah, Dracula, my number four.
Okay. So my number four is one of the slasher movies that Adam took off his list. It's from 1978, and it's Halloween.
Ah, yes, nice. That was on one of, I think, maybe on one of my lists originally. I took it off, though, because I love that movie.
Sure.
That might be my favorite of all the slasher movies. I have a hard time deciding, but I think I like Halloween the most. Just because I think I saw that one the most out of all of them. Like, well, I won't get into all the rest of them, but I think just in case.
Yeah, yeah. There's two. Yeah, I won't get into it either. I'll wait to my number one.
You don't want to step. I was going to say, because you're not going to step on my toes. I took all the slashers off.
I took them all off.
I may have another one on there that Ricardo probably actually has on his list.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. I love John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is during his heyday when he just kept cranking out these amazing films.
Yeah.
And in a way, he kind of set the tone for the slasher genre.
Yeah.
And I mean, Mike Myers, he's just that iconic character, the way he moves.
It's confusing when you say Mike Myers. You have to say Michael.
I'm sorry. Michael Myers.
I just picture him killing people with his accent.
Yeah.
Get in
just
my belly.
Picture fat bastard hacking up teenagers.
I ate the baby.
It's like, no, this guy is
a baby. Yeah, that's, it's, I mean, I don't.
I actually might want to see that now.
You want to see Mike Myers?
I want to see
Halloween?
Fat Bastard. Okay. Yeah.
A horror movie with Fat Bastard. And then he did the score, right?
And the score is great.
No, Mike Myers did the score.
I love all his like synth score work. Like, I love Escape from L.A. I think he did that, too. And I just love all that, like, 80s. The Thing, I think he might have done that, too.
No, that was Ennio Morricone.
You're right.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
That's right. Which they totally ripped off for, Law & Order?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the score that he did create for Halloween is terrific. It's iconic. I mean, the scene in Paranorman where it's his telephone ring is amazing.
It was my telephone ring at one point.
It's a great score, and it really, anytime you hear it kind of gives me chills. Because that's the what he did when he created the movie, is it gives you chills. And when I saw it when I was like a freshman in high school, I remember not wanting to go outside my house at night for a little while, just because I was afraid of some psycho in a white mask just waiting outside who wants to kill me.
I feel like this is one of those ones that I think we've talked about this before, that it's scarier when you saw it like a long time ago. But if you just decided to see it recently for the first time, then you wouldn't think it was as scary. Like the kids of today, I feel like, wouldn't think it was as scary as...
Kids today.
You know?
They're more desensitized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially after the Rob Zombie Halloween.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, for us, it was, like, super scary. I didn't care that he was walking, and still it was scary. He wasn't running, and he could catch up with her. That didn't matter to me. I didn't care about that. He had no facial expression at all, but it was still scary as fuck.
And it's a very... still
it is
yes
and yeah. that creates such a wonderful atmosphere that just creates those chills, especially I like the way he moves and how slow he moves, because it makes him creepier.
Because
the only time that he kind of moves quickly is that one time where he leans up towards the end of the film. Otherwise he's just a slow moving guy. Even when he's like killing people, he's not like moving quickly, and that's the only time he like kind of shoots up.
When he jumps on the car.
All right.
That's it. Two times.
Two times.
But I mean, he's escaping, so.
Yeah. So he's got to move kind of fast when he's escaping from.
Yeah. But this is just such a, like you said, it's such a, they build tension and horror with how slow things and how just like well paced they are. Not slow, just well paced. Mm-hmm. Where it's not like, hey, okay, we got to get to the next kill. You know, it's just really well paced. Mm-hmm. I feel. Mm-hmm.
Plus, he's not like. Like having things jump out at you, he'll be like, "Yeah, that's Mike Myers under the sheet pretending to be a ghost, and he's going to kill her," because you're sitting there as the audience, you know it's him, and she's like being playful with him, thinking it's her boyfriend, and you're like, "No, bitch, that's not. You're about to fucking die."
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, when you know
he doesn't have your beer.
Yeah. I mean, if they can get you like getting angry and like wanting to and like tense because you know what's going on, she doesn't. I like those scares more than, oh, there he is now. He just jumped out of the corner and got her.
Yeah.
There's a scene in Terminator that was really scary when I first saw it as a kid. When Sarah Connor's roommate, she just slept with that one dude, and then Arnold walks in and he thinks it's a girl, and he's like, "Hey, babe," and he's like, "Oh, what the hell?" And I'm like, and it's so scary because you're like, you know, he's in the room. He's like, "No, turn around and run, dude. I don't care if you're in your underwear. You just gotta run." And he's like, "Hey, babe, whoa!" And so it's like things that you know already. It's more scary than like, oh, who's gonna jump out and scare me? It's like you said, like you know, it's Mike Myers, but. It's the character who doesn't know the other characters, and that's what's scary. You're like, no, no, no. It's like what you know that scares you, not what you don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was Hitchcock who said, show the audience, like, what is going on. Like, show them the bomb.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be like, wait, when is it going to go off? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And you're just the whole time, your mind is creating that tension because he's just controlling you the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
That great opening, the POV with the kid.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Did you synopsize Halloween?
Okay, so Halloween.
For the people who haven't seen Halloween.
Is the story of Michael Myers, who...
Not Mike Myers.
Michael Myers, at a young age, murders his sister and gets put into a hospital. He escapes from the hospital, and he goes back to the... to his hometown and kind of just starts killing teenagers again.
Yeah. So there you go. Where are we at? Number three?
No, it's number four.
Four, yeah.
I just drag things out so I can fiddle with my list. All right. So my number four is from 1968, and it's Night of the Living Dead, the original.
So good.
Another movie that just inspires independent filmmakers to go out to one location and just shoot a scary movie.
Yeah.
George Romero at his best. I mean, again, how do you really synopsis the dead come to life and six strangers get stuck in a house fending off the living dead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's great. Racial tension. I don't know how many different good things I have to say about this movie. It's one of my favorites. It's one of those ones where anytime it's on, I can watch it. It's classic black and white. Very simple. I feel like it would make a great stage play, even just because of the one location.
That would be awesome.
Like you could just have the stage be the house, and
then
the zombies are attacking from the outside, coming through the audience. Even I just gave that idea away for free.
Yeah,
I've heard people do it before. So
yeah,
I would totally buy tickets.
The copyright It's not copyright protected, so anybody could do
this. Anybody can do it, yeah.
Anyway.
Anybody could remake The Night of the Living Dead?
Anybody can remake it. I think anybody can sell it. That's the problem. That's why you see all these shitty DVDs of it. Oh, it's because they forgot to put the copyright notice on the bottom of the credits. So anyone can just print a copy of a DVD version of Night of the Living Dead and sell it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's part of the reason why they did the remake, the Tom Savini remake, which is also great, but a very different movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I love it. It's great.
Nice. Very cool. That's definitely on my list. And what I like about these movies is all the Romero movies is that they had like such a good, like political, like message. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like he just had a good message period. Not even political. Like every movie was different, but it just like he was saying something. It wasn't just like, hey, I'm just killing people in this movie. It's like, hey, I'm trying to really say something with my film.
Yeah.
And it was a film, not a slasher. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to articulate. It was a real film, like Dracula and Frankenstein is.
Mm-hmm.
It's good filmmaking, period.
Yeah.
Instead of just, it's not a movie. It's not a movie. It's a film.
It's not predicated on jump scares.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's another still movie.
Yeah.
I mean, these aren't running zombies. Nope. These are classic, slowly shambling towards you.
Decaying.
Mm-hmm. Like, not really hard to get away from, but just inescapable because
so many of
their numbers are constantly increasing.
Yes.
But the acting is great. Who is it? Judith O'Day?
Yeah.
It's great. Dwayne Jones as Ben is great. And then the guy who plays the first zombie that you see in this has a cameo in the Tom Savini version. It is a jump scare where it's like, oh, hey, it's a zombie. And it's like, oh, wait, it's not a zombie. And it's the guy who played the first zombie from the original.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Good pick. I love it. I had it in my list and I took it off because I feel like I use it too much.
Well, and I felt Adam would put this on his list.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be reliable.
It's funny because I still haven't bought a DVD copy of it because of this, because there's so many crappy copies. I know
they did release a good version of DVD.
There's a THX approved version
that
I have. I don't know about Blu-ray yet.
I haven't seen a Blu-ray.
But there's a nice... It's the version I have is the version where the cover is a tombstone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's got a bunch of special
features. Yeah,
that one. Yeah, that's
I think Brandon Strelitz has that one.
Yeah.
Very cool. Jenny?
Number three?
Yeah. No, number one, please.
All right, so my number three is 2008's Let the Right One In.
Yes.
Good one.
I feel like, have we talked about...
This was, I think, another one that was in the test one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think. I don't remember it being in anything else.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Because I can't figure it out being in any other episode.
I don't know, maybe Fantasy or something? I don't know why. A
remix. It might have been a remix.
Oh,
but that's
let me in,
not Let the Right One In.
But we probably would have talked about Let the Right One In as well.
Maybe. Yeah.
But still,
the point is, if we haven't talked about it, I'm glad we're talking about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this one.
Ditto.
I don't think I've actually... I think I've seen Let Me In once, but it just didn't... I mean, it was all right. I just like this one way better.
I saw this movie twice in a row in theaters.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just gorgeous.
It really is.
Such a
gorgeous,
awesome.
creepy movie. I think Would you want to synopsize it first?
Okay. Well, pretty much it's a vampire child comes to town and becomes friends with a boy that's kind of nerdy and
a loner
all by himself.
Who gets kind of picked on a lot.
Yeah. And she kind of like comes to his rescue ish.
She kind of brings him out of his shell and kind of protects him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Oscar is much creepier than Ellie, the vampire.
Yes.
He's like, cause yes, she's a killer, but she's killing to survive.
Yeah.
Whereas he's got that killer instinct
under
the surface where it's like,
he could be
a different movie. It's another thing where it's like,
if
the vampire didn't show up, it could just be about this. It could be like The Good Son too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This kid just flips out and starts killing people.
Oh
Yeah. And this movie is not only the look of it, the cinematography is amazing. Mm-hmm. The score, mm-hmm. the acting, and also like we were talking about the other ones, it's really like the right type of, like, it's paced. It's a little
mm-hmm.
slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's jump scares. It's all of things you know. Like, spoiler alert, move forward like 30 minutes into this if you haven't watched it. The scene where there's someone knocking, and there's like the dead, you know, like the vampire sleeping in the bathroom. And
yeah.
It's like what you know that scares you. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, no, don't go in there. Just go home, dude. Don't.
Yeah.
And it's what you know that scares you, not something jumping out of you. So.
And that pool scene at the end is such a wonderful cinematic.
And so simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So simple and yet so awesomely well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy Oscar, dude.
So, yeah.
He's a serial killer. You know he is.
That's why she befriends him in a way.
Yeah.
She needs that in her life.
I just want to watch it right now.
I know, me too.
Yeah. And it's funny, I'm still waiting on the right DVD release because the DVD that's out right now, the subtitles are off. They're different from the film because the different company did the subtitles for the DVD and they messed them up. So if you buy the DVD or Blu-ray right now, the subtitles are off. They're not.
Be the same for like streaming?
I don't know.
Because I think it was on Amazon and I turned it on. It was, of course, dubbed, but I think they have two versions. I was like, why the fuck did they dub this?
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I hate that. When I watched The Raid on Blu-ray, it was dubbed. And I'm like, no, I want the, what's going on? So I had to literally go stop it and then reset it.
Why do they think we just want to see the dubbed version right away?
I don't know. I guess people are confused and they're like, wait, this is a foreign film? I don't want to see
this. This is, and one of the my favorite differences. And,
spoiler, it is a foreign film. I don't know if we mentioned.
Oh, yeah. It's
Danish, right?
Swedish.
Yeah. And it's, don't watch dubbed. It makes it so much more impactful if you watch it with the subtitles. Even if they're messed up, just watch them with
the
subtitles.
Well, also, I think the stillness helps for reading the subtitles.
Yes, it really does.
It does. Yeah. Yeah.
But what I love about the way that they did this, as much as I like Chloe Moritz and I enjoyed Let Me In, I love the fact that for Let the Right One In, they had an older woman do all the dialogue for Ellie. Like, it's the girl mouthing the words, but it's an older woman saying the words, so you get that age through the dialogue, and it's just, it's very effective.
Yeah.
And the little girl is still great. Like, her eyes, she does so much just through her eyes. Yeah.
And Let Me In is, it's funny, did you guys, I don't know if you guys like read all the stuff on it, but in the remake, they made it a little more clear, but you guys did get that you weren't sure if it was a girl or a boy, right? The vampire?
Yeah.
It was a eunuch?
Well, in the book.
Yeah, it's very clear.
Yeah, it's much clearer that it's actually a eunuch and not a girl.
Yeah. And
spoiler alert.
Yeah. And I liked the remake, but it was a very different movie. I mean, it made sure the tone was even different. Mm-hmm. It was definitely...
Same storyline, but different feel to it.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it was very much Americanized.
Oh, yeah for sure.
I have to say, like, my favorite thing of it is Richard Jenkins. Like,
I really like the car crash.
That was the way really it was good. Shot.
Yeah.
And they both did a really good job of setting the tone of the 80s.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Like, it does feel like it's just from the 80s. It's like, this is an 80s movie.
Yeah. All right, where are we at? Number three?
Yep.
Number three is from 1988, and it is another movie with creepy dolls, Child's Play.
Ah.
All right, now, did you use this one before?
In the last episode, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what...
I haven't heard him bring it up since then.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just thinking about a movie night we had.
Oh, you
we
know
watched
what?
The trailer?
Yeah. Maybe we talked about it as a stream.
Yeah, we talked about it as a stream, and we watched it last Halloween.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Child's Play... definitely scares the crap out of me. Even still, it's just, it's a combination of a couple of things. It's a slow, like, again, it's a slow paced movie. The way the actor, when the actor is in the Chucky suit walking, he has this weird little, like, walk where it's almost like stop motion, but it's just like his little legs can't go that fast. Mm-hmm. So it's like jerky because he's in
I think
a suit.
He's very method and he was very he's much like, bringing to life what it would be like if you were a plastic character.
Like, I think on. So.
He's like, give me legs.
Because, I mean, plastic characters don't have joints.
Yeah, with those fixed legs. Yeah.
He's like,
creepy.
He's like, give me two more hours to prepare. And this movie's the voice of the doll, Brad Dourif. That's creepy enough.
Yeah.
Period. Catherine Hicks plays a mom. Basically, the storyline is a killer puts his soul into a doll because he's mortally wounded and he's about to die, and he puts his soul into the doll. This mom for Christmas buys a doll for the kid, and then the way he gets his soul into the doll is kind of like voodoo, like black magic, and he figures out that Brad Dourif is a doll, Chucky, realizes that if he doesn't transfer his soul into a human, he's going to be stuck in the doll forever. So he and the doll's becoming more and more human. Like, he could bleed, you know, he starts bleeding mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So he's got to transfer his soul into, coincidentally, the first thing, the first human he revealed the secret to, which is Andy, the kid. And that's all I'm going to give you if you haven't seen it. Chris Sarandon's in it, and he's awesome. He's really, really good in this as a cop.
It's an interesting trailer, the way that they... Like, I feel like they hide a lot in the trailer.
They do hide a lot in the trailer.
It's like, we already know what's happening. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just show us. Just show us. They bury the lead.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but, yeah, it's a really interesting movie and creepy. And, again, it's doll. And at the time, there was dolls that resembled that doll.
My buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kid sister?
Yeah. And, that was really creepy because my sister had one, and if I was watching TV in the living room, I couldn't be
back to the dolls.
Yeah, and sometimes I would look over, and sometimes coincidentally I would be watching the movie, and then the scene would come up where she like checks the batteries and there's no batteries in it, and it's talking, and I would turn around and the doll would be like just like staring at me, and I'm like, and then I'd have to grab it and then put it in the room and then close the door. That way I would hear if he opened the door. But yeah. So, number three, Child's Play. All three of these are really good. And the thing I didn't like was that they got campy.
I
enjoy the campy, but it's not the same. You know, it's two different movies.
So, is it the third one with Justin Whale in it at a, like, military camp?
Military school, yeah.
Yeah, part two.
Is that two?
Oh, no, that's three. Three. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Military school's
where
part three.
The black
three.
Kid gets the doll and Justin Whale's like, no, stay away from Chucky. Yeah. I've learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Learn from my mistakes. And they go on, like, the haunted house ride.
Yes.
And then he gets the scythe to the face.
Yes.
Which was really disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
At least as a child it was.
Child's Play 2 was the one where they restore the doll for some reason.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let's make it better.
Yeah, like they find the doll melted and stuff. But they're like, we want to know what went wrong with this doll, because they don't believe it was like possessed, and they rebuilt the doll, like the original Chucky doll, and they basically revive the fucking thing. So yeah, my number three, Child's Play.
Okay, my number three is from 1984, and it's A Nightmare on Elm Street.
You bastard! Nice. It's my number one.
I kind of figured.
Yeah.
This is where I, as much as I love Halloween, this is the guy I fear the most, because he's in your fucking dreams.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You could outrun Michael Myers if it came down to it.
You could probably outrun Mike Myers too.
Yeah. Mike Myers too. Or that doesn't work. you could definitely get away from him because he's tangible. You could kill him if you, like,
Michael Myers.
Yeah, if you put him into the Wood Chipper,
you can't kill Michael Myers.
You cannot kill him.
No.
Have you ever seen the movie?
Okay, you can't kill him, but it's if you go to sleep and you're in a cell, he can't get in. You know what I mean? Where Freddy Krueger will haunt your dreams, literally. There's no getting away, because it's worse, because you're fine during the day, but everyone has to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because hypothetically, let's say you were in the desert, Michael Myers. It would be coming at you, and you could just keep running in the desert and just evade him.
Keep running, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, just never stop running. Yeah.
He's like Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
right.
But
I want to see that movie.
Freddy Krueger will get you in your sleep, and I feared going to sleep when I would watch this movie. I'm like, I don't want to go to sleep. Get me some coffee. Get me Johnny Depp to keep me awake.
But he didn't.
He didn't.
Didn't work out well for him.
Yeah. One died too.
Kevin.
Well, and I mean, I think as a kid, I personally, you would always, like, if you got scared, you would crawl in your cover and just try to go to sleep because you'd get away from it.
Yes.
But with Freddy, going to sleep is you're going right to him when you go to sleep.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Because I feel like if you watch, like, Child's Play or any other movie, you're like, oh, man, I'm scared. I'm going to leave, like, a nightlight on. And then, oh, is there something under our bed? Well, I just couldn't cover myself, like you said.
Yep.
I'll go to sleep, and tomorrow will be another day, and I'll have forgotten about it.
Yeah.
With my 8 hours of sleep. Not with Freddy.
Not with Freddy. No, as soon as you go to sleep, yeah, there he is, just waiting for you.
The worst thing is when you have Freddy Krueger dreams.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, fuck, dude. I'm screwed.
God, yeah. When, okay,
I've had him.
We saw. When did we go see that?
We saw it a year ago. When you,
I guess
you,
it was last
at New Beverly.
Halloween. Yes. Yeah. The original and then the newest.
New Nightmare.
The new Nightmare, whatever. Yeah.
The two
and,
best.
Yeah.
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 And back to back. And I had the worst Freddy nightmare of my life. It was so scary. I could not.
And you hadn't seen him, right? Before that?
No, I'd seen the first one. I hadn't seen the newest one. But I'd only seen the first one probably once or twice.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's terrible.
God, it scared me so much. It was the worst. Ugh. God.
I think we had gone drinking too before that, so that didn't help.
Yeah,
probably. Like, if you go to sleep a little drunk, like that's the worst because you're like you have some.
Well,
weird
it's harder
dreams.
To wake up.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're like, come on, buddy, wake up.
So, did I tell the story about my grandma? My grandma letting me rent Dream Child.
No.
What?
Okay, so we went to the video store. No, but it's worse than that. So not she let me rent Dream Child, but she kept trying to talk me into renting Amityville Horror instead because like, it was based on a true story.
She's like, Dream Child. Like,
no, this really happened, so this is going to be scarier. I'm like, Grandma, what do you... No, I don't... That won't really happen. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, but Freddy Krueger also, too, what scared me the most was that he had a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You mean like
he'd
was
make
like
fun of you while he was
yeah and he's like ha, you're a coward and I'll cut your guts out and you're like no sir.
Well, and the way like Robert Englund plays him, he adds this charisma you hate to love Freddy, but you love him so
he's
much because of the way
he's a confident killer.
Yeah,
you know, some killers are timid; they hide in the shadows. This guy now. He scrapes metal with his claws just so he can make that creepy sound.
Yeah.
So did you see the remake?
I did see the remake.
Okay.
I two things. I mean, I love as much as I love Jackie Earle Haley.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have that charisma and the slight humor that Robert Englund had.
Yeah, it was. I feel bad saying this, but it was a humorless Freddy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And that was definitely part of the appeal of Freddy. Yeah. But the movie itself was just like, at some points it was like, all right, well, this is blatantly what happened before. But then it would like segue, it couldn't make up its mind whether it wanted it to be
its own?
A shot for shot remake or its own. And it was very frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think also with a lot of these remakes, like The Hitchhiker and like, Nightmare on
Elm
Street. Friday
the 13th remake was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is that they get music video directors thinking that they're going to visually make them interesting and like more contemporary. But I think what they have to do is they go with a more independent director and go, hey, make this a real movie and modern. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the I think the problem that you're dealing with people who are used to visuals and not storytelling per se. So that's my 10 cents. But Freddie, screw that guy, dude. And then even now, like, if you see, like, a dude with, like, a red and, like, green, dark green shirt, you're like, oh, dude, is that guy, what's going on with him? Yeah, creepy stuff. And the claws.
The great one-liners.
Yeah.
Like, when he's like, this is God.
But, yeah, all the movies, all of them. Some of them got really campy, like,
Two. It has really some great one-liners, but it's not good.
It's way weird and
homoerotic.
Yeah, the bondage stuff is really bizarre.
Yeah.
But 3, 4, Freddy's Dead, no, and then New Nightmare.
New Nightmare was really good because it was great.
Yeah, I like Dream Warriors and Dream Child.
Yeah.
I don't like Freddy's Dead.
Yeah.
And then
I do love New Nightmare.
New Nightmare.
That one's really creepy.
So creepy.
And I felt like, again, the director was a problem, but Freddy vs. Jason could have been a good movie if it had a better director and a better writer. Anyway.
They didn't start wrestling like they were in WWE.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that is my number. That's my number one, and that's your number three.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shit. Where are we? Number three. Okay. So, my number three, let's just play around with that. All right, I'm just going to go with Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974.
Awesome.
think someone's at the door.
Someone's watching the Falcons game.
Someone's watching Falcons game with headphones on, so they can't
They don't realize how much they're enjoying it.
Yeah.
I gotcha. I was rewatching this before we came to do this podcast just to make sure, because it's one of those movies where I feel like it's deceptive. Like, it deceives you into thinking it's something different. Like, it's like this goofy, kind of sorty, weird, campy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then Leatherface shows up and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Like, his first reveal, it's equivalent to what happens to the guy who sees him. It's like, hammer to the head. It's like, wow. See, just blindsides you.
It scares me because there are places that look like that. You know what I mean? Meaning, like, you drive...
Like where they filmed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and
like Texas.
Yeah. The movie like this and, like, Deliverance and stuff like that, like, it's a little more like scary because
it looks too real for you.
Yeah.
Well, especially this one. This one has a very documentary feel to the camera work of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just the way that Tobe Hooper kind of has you in the van with these kids and takes you on this ride with them, and they seem very real, and it's like campy and they're kind of goofy, and you're like, all right, well, this is just hanging out with the kids, and
yeah,
they're gonna get into trouble. But then they get to this house and Leatherface appears in that door and hammers that kid in the head, making those weird, like, pig
sounds. Ugh.
And he's, like, shrieking and convulsing, and he slams that steel door shut, and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, like, you have to take a second and, like, breathe after that moment. Yeah,
because I remember I watched... This was a movie I watched later in life. I didn't see it until I want to say, like, 18 or 19. And so I was like, what is this? This is campy. This isn't going to be good. Leatherface shows up. I'm in for the long run.
Yeah.
And then it's one after the other. It's that guy, the guy being taken in the back, and then the girl walking into the house and falling into the room full of bones and, like, chickens and parts, and then Leatherface coming out and catching her and putting her on a hook.
Yep.
And that the movie literally hooks you at that point. We're like, all right, I got to see where this goes from here.
Yep. Yeah. So it feels like a horror movie.
Anyway, so the synopsis is these kids are on a road trip through Texas, and they end up paying a visit to the wrong house where Leatherface lives, and he slowly kills them.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good movie. What do you think of the remakes?
I really like the remake.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. The new, the one, the...
Matthew McConaughey.
I mean, Next Generation, that's a different story.
Yeah.
That's one of the weird sequels.
It's a lot of fun.
Really bizarre.
It's fun.
Really
though.
Bizarre.
The only one I've seen is the Jessica Biel one.
Did you like that one?
I liked it, but I haven't seen the original. I don't know how much they compare.
Especially based on the sequels. I think the original and then the remake are both very good bookends as far as each other. It's very reminiscent.
Now,
they get the same tone. Okay,
so I only seen the original. So now the Jessica Biel one, is it a straight remake of it?
Essentially.
Yeah.
It's like a 98% remake.
Okay.
Where they have a little bit, they tweak the story a little bit.
Okay. And now, what about the sequel, which was The Beginning?
The prequel.
The prequel, yeah.
It's a weird prequel. Where it's like, oh yeah, well, before those people showed up, these were the people who showed up. And it's not as good, but it has some just great messed up Leatherface moments. And the ending of the prequel is trippy and stark and just like, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what about the new one that I just saw the preview to?
This is like an offshoot where it's like, because they're not starting over again. It's just another story.
Is the same guy playing Leatherface, Andrew Wynorski?
I'm not sure.
Because he does a really good job.
He does a really good Leatherface.
Yeah.
Nice. I don't know if it's the same guy. I feel like it's different people who've taken over the franchise, so it might be a different actor.
Okay.
And it's a different story. It's not connected to... I mean, not directly connected to the characters from the first two, as far as I can tell. It's like about a girl who inherits a house that I'm guessing is near Leatherface, or maybe someone who was a cohort of Leatherface's.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing that's scary about Leatherface, is like the community gathers around him. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, that boy is just—he just needs help.
Yeah,
they have pity for him. Yeah, he's special. So we just, just don't go out after dark, and you'll be all right.
Yeah. There's so many Texas Chainsaw movies.
There are. The second one, I hated the first time I saw it, but it's one of those movies where you go back and you rewatch it with a different set of eyes. Like, okay, I get what they were going for, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy and campy. And
the one with Dennis Hopper is pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, just the beginning where Leatherface shows up and he's wearing not just he's wearing an entire human body.
Yeah.
And it's just so bizarre. It was like just like a weird human puppet. It's trippy.
This one has Matt Bomer in it.
Really? The new one? Oh, the new one. Oh, the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to watch that. I like me some Bomer. Jenny?
What number? And my number two.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, sorry. My number two is 1991's The Signs of the Lambs.
Awesome.
Very scary.
It's a
honorable mention. I think I had it on my villains list.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
It's got two great villains.
Yeah, it has two great villains.
Yeah. And I don't know which one's scarier. Well, I guess I'm safe from the dude from Buffalo Bill. Buffalo Bob?
Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
Why are you safe from Buffalo
Bill? Because you're not a woman?
He's not a great big fat woman.
Okay. You're really a great, great fat woman.
I'm not helping you move any couches now.
Oh, Karen.
Same voice.
Oh, Ted Levine.
He's awesome. Still scary.
He is.
Yeah, especially when he tucks in his
tucks in his junk.
Yeah, he's like, "Do fuck me." This is a movie's creepy because it does have the two villains, and you're like, "Dude, one's worse than the other. What's going on?"
The only horror movie to win an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It deserved it.
Sure. And just like again, this isn't. It's hard to classify this. This is a horror movie because it's such a good movie. Period. And that's again what we're talking about. Like that good horror is just good filmmaking. Period. Not in for the scares. Just hey, I'm going to tell you the story.
It's a good movie that happens to be scary.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of Manhunter? I saw that before I saw Sons of the Lambs. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, I mean, it came out first.
Yeah, it came out first, yeah. But I'm saying, like, as a kid, I was really young, and I remember seeing Manhunter and being like, screw this guy that has the tattoos. And then in A God of the Vida, that's when I first discovered In A God of the Vida, the song that plays over Manhunter. And screw that. I was like, when I heard the song, I'm like, oh, no, take this off, dude. I don't want that dude to show up and kill me.
I mean, Manhunter is a movie I haven't revisited, and I can't really remember it from when I watched it.
Really?
So that does not bode well for it. But I mean, I have nothing bad to say about it. I just need to revisit it.
What does it have to do with Silence of the Lambs?
It's Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it came out before?
It's basically Red Dragon.
Red Dragon, yeah.
It's the same movie.
Okay.
Red Dragon's a remake of Manhunter.
Oh, okay.
It's how, it's basically, well, Red Dragon, they explain a little more of how they caught. They accidentally caught Hannibal Lecter.
Okay.
And but it's Red Dragon, like the original Red Dragon. It's Michael Mann. So
okay.
It's really blue. A lot of blue filters.
Brian Cox plays Hannibal Lecter.
So it's really,
it's worth checking out just to see him as Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, it's definitely like an interesting take. Like you're like, oh wow, I wonder if Anthony Hopkins watched that or he just did his own thing.
That's interesting.
But yeah, I definitely love all of them. I even love Red Dragon.
I like them all too.
Yeah, except Hannibal. Hannibal kind of got a little campy for me. But
nothing beats Ray Liotta eating his own brain.
I love that.
No, wait. You know what was scary? Gary Oldman.
Yeah,
Gary Oldman really is great.
For doctor, and with like the melted face, I was like, whoa, that's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Well, just when they talk about how he got him high and fed him his own face.
Yep. Yes.
That's fucked up.
God, yeah.
That's really fucked up.
He kind of talks like Bane, now that I remember.
I feel like you might be misremembering
that. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't remember him talking like
Bane.
You
really want him to sound like Bane, don't you?
Adopt the darkness.
Of course.
I was born in it. So, yeah, that's a good pick. I'm glad you put it on there. Honorable mention. Where are we, two?
Mm-hmm.
My number two is more creepy kids talking Spanish. And I'm talking about 2001's this one, newer movie, The Devil's Backbone. Have you seen this, Jenny?
I haven't yet, but I keep hearing about it. I really want to see it.
You got to see it at night, and you got to see it with the lights off.
I love Guillermo del Toro, so yes. I bet I would love it.
You'd love this movie.
Okay, hold on. Time out. Can we just talk about the trailer for Mama?
Oh, Have you seen it, Jenny?
No.
I feel like we should pause and just let Jenny watch the trailer for Mama right now.
We'll watch it after, but and we'll add in the pause.
I don't
pause
even know
post.
What movie this is.
It's,
Mama?
It's so, this new movie coming out. It comes out in January, which
produced
is really the only
worrying part.
Worrisome part about this movie.
But you know what? All the movies that have been produced by Guillermo del Toro, except for Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, but I blame that on Katie Holmes. That's all
No, there's more to that movie that's wrong with it than
Kevin. I like to blame it on Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise. They were having trouble, okay? And they weren't in the right set of mind.
Ruined the whole movie.
Ruined the whole movie. But The Orphanage, have you seen that?
No.
Oh, okay, you gotta sit down and have like a triple feature. Well, double feature. go see Devil's Backbone.
I have
Orphanage.
Orphanage on DVD if you need to borrow it.
Yeah. Thank you. I would like that.
We should have a movie night. And it, the Devil's Backbone is so effing creepy. It's just like, there's nothing worse, like I said, than kids, ghost kids.
Well, and that kid's eyes.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah. So basically, the synopsis is, after Carlos, a 12-year-old whose father has died in the Spanish Civil War, arrives in an anonymous boys' orphanage. He discovers the school is haunted by it has many secrets and it's haunted. So it's like this kid discovering things and being haunted, and the kid that's doing the haunting. It's pretty creepy, and that's all I'll say. And it's really scary, just because, again, it's just a good film, period, and all the scares are really well done. And,
It's Del Toro's scariest
yes.
movie.
Yeah. Because, mm-hmm. yeah.
Kronos isn't really scary.
No. And,
Pan's Labyrinth has some scary moments.
It yeah. is, but I feel like on a whole.
Yes. No, you're
Devil's
right.
Devil's Backbone
right.
is scary.
No, yeah, yeah. Because Pan's Labyrinth is more like a fairy tale that's a little scary,
mm-hmm.
where this is like a full on horror movie.
Well, for a fairy tale. I would even go so far as to say that it's a lot scary for a fairy
yeah,
tale.
Yeah.
It's a scary fairy tale. It's a scary tale. Yeah, I said yeah. that. That just happened.
Scary tale.
And it's Scott Weinberg on his list of the best scary movies of the decade. That's his number one. So
Devil's Backbone?
Yeah. No, Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
So as far as he's concerned, that's a horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there are some... Yeah, yeah. It's hard to pick one of the... I mean, Kronos is definitely not one of his...
They're different kinds of scary, yeah. Pan's Labyrinth and Devil's Backbone.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say the only movie that I haven't just been like gung-ho about has been Blade 2, but just because of the whole like wrestling.
Yeah,
Blade. That's about it. I still enjoyed it.
That's really my only problem with the movie.
I feel like I didn't
need him to do a suplex.
Yeah, I feel that's more like studio. Like, hey, we need more action, bro. Could you CGI some more action, man? yeah, and I heard Wesley Snipes is not the easiest guy to deal with, so. I'm going to blame Wesley Snipes.
Okay. So now, wait, what do you think of, what is it, Mimic? Did he do Mimic?
I enjoyed it. That was his first American full-on.
Or no, yeah, it was Mimic, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I didn't have many complaints. Not as scary as Devil's Backbone or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my number two, Creepy Kids. Go ahead.
Okay, my number two is from 1980, and it's The Shining.
Yeah.
I made sure to keep this off of the ghost list because I wanted to put it on this list.
That's why I took it off my list, because I think I put it on the ghost list.
I love this movie.
It's so good.
And I do love this movie, but
yeah. creeps the
hell
out
of me. The ghost
list
helped wean this list down.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah. This movie's really scary.
Yeah. I mean, great acting. I mean, it invented the Steadicam for some amazing moments that just create tension. Of just the kid riding around on his little bike and just hearing the wheels like hitting the little bumps and just not knowing what's going to be around the corner are amazing. And then Jack just slowly losing it. And then once he starts to get crazy, and some of the like stares that he gives you, just those cold, dead stares are just absolutely terrifying. I mean, this is one of those movies where it's slower paced and it's just, you're tense throughout the entire thing once it starts getting going.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And just, man, like, again, just, like, those slow moments are what gets you just, like, really terrified. And
well, the slow moments, and then I think The Shining is one of the perfect examples of what music can do for a movie. Wendy Carlos's music with Penderecki's music is terrifying.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And just, like... Jack Nicholson's top of his game there.
Oh, yeah.
He's crazy, batshit. I feel like that he's a little crazy in real life. Like, that's why you don't see him a lot.
Play crazy really easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm scared of him.
And some more creepy kids.
Yes.
Just twins. God, just absolutely terrifying.
I think The Shining is one of those horror movies that would be good for almost any horror list that we did. Creepy kids, supernatural, slasher. Ghost, slasher,
it's got it
crazy.
All.
Haunted house.
Yeah. Haunted house.
Yeah.
Which we need to do all those lists now.
Yeah. So yeah, I think good pick. I'm glad you put it on there. Honorable mention. Well done.
All right. So number two?
Yeah.
All right. So my number two from 1960 should come as no surprise since I already said I have problems with The Shower. Psycho.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Again, just an awesome film.
Yeah.
And one of those, you know what I love about this movie?
Everything.
Besides everything, is that I remember first watching it as a kid. This was like a little before I really got into film, you know, just not knowing about, like, hey, this is one of the movies you got to watch. It's just not knowing about Alfred Hitchcock, period. Mm-hmm. It was like, I was always, ever since I was a kid, I was always interested in the con movie. Like, the con man, you know? And this movie, I started watching it, and I think my dad is the one who had it, and he let me watch it. And I'm like, oh, my God, a girl con, oh, my God, it's going to be amazing. Awesome. And then the story takes a wild turn, and it gets freaking crazy.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And then even this is a movie I did see pretty young also, but I feel like anyone born after it came out knows about the shower scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's aware of the shower scene, but it's still scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a terrifying scene. Yeah. You're so vulnerable, the way he shoots it, the music.
Yeah.
Bernard Herrmann's music. Just it, like it, the violin strings sound like the knife just doing the cutting. It's, you can feel it. You can feel it in the music.
When I remember, because I had seen it a couple times, and then someone told me, you know, the knife never stabs her, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, what? But because of the way he cuts it with the music and everything, your mind just makes you believe that he's stabbing her with the knife.
You never see the knife make contact.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Such a good movie, and the opening shot is pretty amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it just, the way the craft of the screenwriting, or of the writing of the book in general, where you can completely subvert the first half of your movie. It's like, we're following the main character. No, guess what? That's not the main character anymore. Now you're going to follow the person who killed the main character.
Yep.
And you empathize with him. And just that way, like the way that the filmmakers manipulate the audience into empathizing with the psychopath is masterful.
Yeah.
Just great all around, great cinematography, great writing, great directing, great acting. And I'm not going to lie, I'd love the sequels too. Just like watching them all together. If you've watched all of the Psycho movies together, they work really well.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the sequels.
They work very well together. I mean, none of them are as great as Psycho, but just as a whole, it's interesting to see Norman Bates' journey.
When I like that they kept, like, Anthony Perkins, he kept playing the role.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it...
And he directed 3.
Oh, okay.
And he was upset that he didn't get to direct 4.
Oh, wow.
But it's interesting. He's just a fascinating character. And
the end of this movie with the narration and just him just sitting there in the fly.
And the superimposition.
Oh, so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very creepy. And it's like, again, when you're a kid and you know what's coming, you don't think you're going to be scared. Like, oh, I'm going to be fine. But they get you.
Yeah. They get you good.
Yeah.
Good pick.
That
Jenny?
New Bates Motel show is coming out soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
I'm interested to see what they do with that.
Yeah.
They just cast, what's his face?
Freddie Highmore?
Yeah.
As Norman Bates.
So that should be interesting. Yeah.
And Vera Farmiga?
Mm-hmm.
As the mother?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Curious. And he's got some good stuff, too. Like, I caught...
Longmire? Is that on A&E?
Longmire is on A&E, okay. And then I watched Breakout Kings, which is a horrible title, but it was a good show.
Intervention's also on A&E.
That's one of my favorites.
And Hoarders.
I watched Coma, the Ridley Scott produced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was almost really good.
Isn't it a remake of like an 80s movie?
I don't know. Was it?
Because when I started, I think I was at AMC early one before a movie and they were talking about it. And I was like, wait, I could remember watching this like on TBS. And it was like a 70s or 80s movie.
The one with Michael Douglas?
Yes.
That's what I thought when I saw the ads for it. I was like, oh, is this a remake of that movie?
Because it sounds like they're putting people in the comas to kind of harvest their organs. Yes. And that's what that movie's about.
Yeah, that's what it is. Oh, then yeah, it is a remake.
Which also just makes me think of, I feel like that's a lot of like Desperate Measures.
Yes, that's a good movie too. But yeah, there you go. Psycho is your number two.
Yes.
And Jenny, recap.
So my number five was 28 Days Later, 4 The Evil Dead, 3 Let the Right One In, 2 Silence of the Lambs, and my number one is 1973's The Exorcist.
Ditto.
Awesome.
Yeah. God, that movie. Yeah. That movie was probably the... I hated scary movies when I was a kid. I absolutely just would not watch them. They scared the living crap out of me, and I wouldn't be able to sleep for forever. And my parents just, my mom was not going to have it because I would be in my bedroom crying to my mom until she would come in and save me. And so I didn't start watching horror movies until I got a little bit older. And The Exorcist was probably the first scary movie that I actually enjoyed watching, but was still like scared crap. You know, the shit out of my pants, but
you're very specific. Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure I watched it in like seventh grade, but loved it. It's awesome, but also so scary. But it's a really fantastic movie. I love this movie so much.
Yes.
Have you seen it on the big screen?
No.
I really want to see it.
Really? I bet I need. That's what I need to do this Halloween. I'm sure they're going to be doing it at the New Beverly or something. Do some horror movies.
They are. I think there's a bunch of. I think they're doing. I think Frankenstein's going to be on the big screen again. I think The Exorcist is going to be on the big screen. I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head, but I've seen it on the big screen twice, three times now.
Oh yeah.
And well, because they re-released in theaters ages ago, and then for the Blu-ray release, that was the most recent one I did. They did like a one-time live screening where they showed special features of the Blu-ray on the big screen, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's my number one. Also, one of my all-time favorites.
Oh yeah.
Creepy as hell. I know grown men, like manly men, who are terrified just by the music.
Yeah.
Theme that I had as a ringtone at one point in time.
That's a Tubular
Bells. Tubular Bells is terrifying. William Friedkin does a great job. I've heard he was a terrible tyrant on the set of this film. Just some of the ways he got his actors to react the way he wanted. And then just the added stress of having a set in a refrigerated soundstage.
Yeah.
But I mean, just Max von Sydow is great.
Yeah,
yeah.
Seeing how old he is now, he looks how old he was in this movie. Like that's how good of an actor he was. He was like 40 or 50 something playing 80, so convincingly that I never really thought about it until recently. Like, wait a minute, Max von Sydow's been old forever, but he was just really good at playing the age.
How old is he? Is he 112? Is he himself a vampire?
He's a Time Lord.
He only works in nights.
Ellen Burstyn.
Yes.
Great. Linda Blair. Lee J. Cobb.
Yeah.
I love. They have to. The book is great, but there's a line that they have to change because Lee J. Cobb's character talks about a part that Lee J. Cobb plays in Streetcar Named Desire. So they had to change. They had to change the name of the movie he's talking about. But the book itself is scary.
Yeah.
Who else? Jason Patrick's dad, Jason Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Also great. I just love this movie. Every time I see it, I love it more, which is weird because I watch it a lot.
I have a hard time watching it still because it still gives me the creeps.
Yeah.
I think Supernatural, even though I know like, hey, ghosts can't physically attack me, it scares me a little more than like... I mean, the thing is, stuff that's in my house scares me, but then once I'm like, once the thing is over, I'm like, ah, it's not real life.
But the Supernatural could always be around you. The Supernatural's like, whoa. Yes. So have you seen the director's version with like, there's more subliminal stuff in it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, where there's like flashes of the demon.
Really?
Yeah, like brief, like in the darkness, there's like a flash of the demon, and you see the face of the demon a little bit more than you do in the original. You got to see the version that you never saw.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Damn.
Gotta check it out.
I remember because this was, I believe, your number one on our Lost episode. Yes. And it had been a while since I watched it. So I think a couple months later it was on Netflix and I rewatched it. And it's so true. You love it more every time you watch it. And it's really just a study in how to make a really good scary movie.
Yeah.
And it's weird how I want to say 99% of every other movie about exorcism it's just Exorcist watered down.
Exactly.
Like they've got to bring the priest. Yeah. And it's science and psychology and God, do all these tests. And it's always the same thing. It's like, you can't beat the Exorcist.
It's true.
Yeah, I agree.
There was a movie that came out called The Last Exorcism that was really interesting. And the way they did it was interesting. And the guy who played the priest character was amazing. And it had some really interesting things. The ending was really crazy.
Yeah, I loved it until the end.
Yeah,
like if it had stayed on the path that it was on, it would have been fine. But for me, that movie jumped the rails.
It really did.
I do like The Last Exorcism, or not The Last. Savannah does this all the time too. Combining Last Exorcism and Exorcism of Emily Rose. The Last Exorcism of Emily Rose. Yeah. I like The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
She does
not. But yeah, I thought, what's her name from Dexter? It was really good in that.
Yes,
Tom Wilkinson is great. I feel bad. I gotta remember her name. Does anyone know off the top of their head?
Carpenter.
Yeah.
Jennifer Carpenter.
Yes. Yeah. She's great in that.
And good looking. but yeah, that's a good number one, guys. I didn't put it on my list because it just, I don't care to watch it again. It just scares me too much. If I watch it in the daytime, I'd be good.
I think we should watch it this year for Halloween.
We gotta watch it at night. We gotta go to a theater at like a midnight showing.
Yes.
Ricardo wouldn't sleep.
I'm down.
But it's weird. Like, grown men, you're not the only one, Ricardo. I know plenty of grown men who are terrified of this movie.
My dad tells a story that he took his brother-in-law, who's like kind of, he's not a tough guy, but he's just like a guy's guy. You know what I mean? He doesn't cry really, doesn't, you know, he's just a man. And, he said he couldn't sleep for a week. Like, he's like literally a week, couldn't sleep. Would wake up in sweats. Scared the hell out of him.
It's just something about the devil, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, the devil just gets like, that's too real.
Yeah, yeah. Good pick. My recap is number 5, Dolls. Number 4, Dracula. Number 3, Child's Play. Number 2, Devil's Backbone. The Devil's Backbone. Number 1, Nightmare on Elm Street. We talked about it already, so...
Okay. Okay, so recap. Number 5, The Descent. 4, Halloween. 3, A Nightmare on Elm Street. 2, The Shining. And my number 1 from 1982, another John Carpenter film, The Thing.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. I think this was on the Lost episode on my list.
I think so as well.
But I did use it on remakes.
Remakes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Good movie. The score...
The score is terrific.
Kurt Russell is amazing.
Yep. Everybody does a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, who do you trust in this movie? And everybody has got their own. I mean, they're all very, in their own way, kind of suspicious. You're like, I don't know who to trust at all in this movie at all.
But at the same time, they're all likable, which makes it even harder. It's like, oh, do I trust you? They get all this cast of really likable. Wilford Brimley. Like, he's everybody's grandpa.
Yep.
And you're like, what? I can't trust you, Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
And then you pull a gun on us.
Well, and then there's that one scene where he opens up the little window and he's just got the rope with the noose hanging there. And you're like, what the fuck is going on with Wilford Brimley?
Yeah.
I want to come inside.
Yeah.
I want to come back inside.
I'm going to be okay.
I'm going to be okay. Just let me back inside. I've got diabetes.
I've got diabetes. If you're like me and 1,000 people and you have diabetes... Well, there's the help for you.
Wilford Brimley is someone else who looks like they haven't aged.
Yes.
Like, they just stayed. They hit a certain point and then stopped aging.
Not that they didn't age, but they've never been young. Like, they were like Benjamin Button disease, but never went younger. They just stayed old.
Well, they just came out a certain way, and they've been that way.
Yeah.
Man, that sucks for his mom.
Yeah.
No, he just looked like a smaller version of that. Oh, okay. He grew, but he looked exactly the same as the miniature Wilford Brimley. It's like if there was a Wilford Brimley nesting doll, which I want now.
Yeah.
So it started that little teeny tiny pocket-sized Wilford Brimley.
It's like Wilford Brimley in Absence of Malice is the same one as The Thing, as the same one as the diabetes commercials. All of them are the same person. But The Thing is really cool. Kurt Russell. Everybody's amazing in it. The end is really cool. Just how it ends.
Great. The effects, best Rob Bottin's effects.
Yeah.
Are awesome, and anytime people are like, "Oh, CGI," it's like, watch the effects in the thing. Watch them today; they still look
That's
amazing.
That's what pissed me off about the new thing coming out. When people actually saying that the effects in the remake were better. I'm like, fuck you.
No,
that's ridiculous.
The prequel of the remake.
The prequel of the remake. Yes, I'm sorry.
I mean, when
it's so confusing.
And when the head is coming off the body and then hits the ground and then sprouts legs.
Yeah.
Awesome. Just when so
the,
awesome.
When the dude's chest opens up and eats the guy's hands.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just everything. They all look great. From the dog, crazy dog creature thing going up into the roof all the way out through the end. It's just a great movie.
It really is.
And also, I mean, talking about effects, like, since we're at the end and your number one was The Exorcist, right?
Yes.
Well, give us a recap before I go on.
Okay, so my number five was a tie between Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. My number four was Night of the Living Dead, the original, 1968. Number three was the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974. Number two was Psycho, 1960. And my number one was also The Exorcist.
Well, you were saying the practical effects, and that's what I loved about my one of my honorable mentions, American Werewolf in London.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that the practical effects are so creepy because it's like you start seeing like faces deform, and it's not CGI because CGI you're like, oh, well, it's just CGI. But when you saw practical effects, you're like, part of your head's like, how do they do this? This dude's really going through this. What's going on? Your head doesn't have time to do the math. It's kind of like watching a magic show and your brain doesn't have time to break it down. Like, oh, well, that's in his pocket and that's blah, blah, blah. With practical effects, your brain doesn't work that fast to be like, okay, well, there's things in there that are flickering his eyebrow and then there's this. It doesn't work that way. When it's CGI, your brain just goes, CGI, done. And you don't get afraid. I was watching Teen Wolf.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the first time he's like shifting in the mirror.
We've got that.
And
ladders.
Like his eyebrows, mm-hmm. and then like his hands are getting longer. And I'm like, that's scary. Like this is supposed to be a comedy, but it's really scary. The effects are really pretty scary.
The practical effects. I mean, Rick Baker won the Oscar for that for a reason. Yeah. It's amazing. And just the time they spent on that transformation scene.
Yeah.
And just seeing it there in a brightly lit room.
Yes.
Is amazing. Yeah. And I know why you love this movie, because it's a very still movie, too.
Yes.
It's like, he turns into werewolf, but there's a very tense buildup.
Yeah.
And everything with the nightmares that he's having.
Yes.
And seeing Griffin Dunn show up slowly deteriorating.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. But it's weird to say how much I love a movie that there's a scene where you literally watch someone being bored.
Yeah.
Like, you watch him, it's like he's bored, and you're watching his boredom.
Yeah.
And it's just so like, oh, he's going to turn into a werewolf, and he's bored, but he doesn't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Oh, it's great. Again, not knowing what's going to happen when they don't believe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Any honorable mentions?
A buck ton.
Well, don't mention a lot of them because we're going to do a bunch of other lists.
All right. I like that idea.
So, Jenny, anything else that you kind of sticks out that you wouldn't put in any other list?
Not really, no. I mean, we pretty much named them all.
Yeah, me too. I guess the only thing that we've mentioned before that, I mean, it's probably on your list, Adam. Alien. Just really scary.
That was on
practical,
my,
again.
It was on my sci-fi,
yeah.
My number one on my sci-fi list. But yeah, love it. The reason it's my number one sci-fi is because it's a horror sci-fi. It's one of the scariest. If it wasn't on that list, it'd be close to the top of this list.
Yeah.
Same thing with Jaws. I mean, it's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah. So there it is. Kevin, you want to throw anything out?
No. Most of my honorable mentions were talked about.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I have so many I want to talk about. There's all these. I feel like we need to do a part two where we can only do new movies, because there are so many new horror movies that I love, but they're just not. They haven't been around long enough to be considered classics.
Yeah.
But they're so.
Do you own Martyrs?
I do.
Because I really want to watch. I've been reading, because ever since you talked about it, I've been reading about it, and I really, really want to see this
Martyrs
movie.
Is a definite honorable mention. I'm going to step on my own toes. If we ever do like a most fucked up movies, Martyrs is going to be on this list.
Most disturbing?
Yeah, most disturbing. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm assuming we're not going to do a torture porn-centric movie, but it's not strictly torture porn, but it just has some messed up moments.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's really good. You check it out.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of new stuff. This last decade has had its slow points, but every once in a while something really great pops out, and it, like Martyrs is great. A lot of French horror has been good and interesting. Martyrs, Inside. Australia's got some good horror movies coming out recently. The Loved Ones is really good.
I've never seen that.
I don't know that it's actually had its U.S. release yet.
I don't think it has.
Try to check it out.
But it's really good.
All right.
The Poughkeepsie Tapes.
We'll save it for other lists, slash list.
I see. Starting movies. A lot of these I feel like aren't even slasher movies.
There's Wreck is a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm actually okay with Quarantine too. I'm probably in the minority on that one. But I saw Quarantine before I saw Wreck, so I don't know what to tell you.
Well, all right. Well, we'll wrap it up here for now. Put a little comma on this episode and come back and put some more movies on here.
It's not done. Comma.
What did you think I said?
Nothing.
Oh.
I was like, what?
You're dirty. So until next time, follow us on Twitter at the Film Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Jenei, JEHNEIGH.
I'm at an Adam Scott, AN_ Adam Scott.
And I'm at KZuberBeer, that's ZUBERBIER.
And friend us on Facebook. Give us your favorite horror movies, maybe stuff we haven't seen. We always love discovering new things or being told new movies that we haven't seen. We love that. What else?
Check out shootingthescript.com for reviews and other physical lists that you can read as opposed to listen to.
Yeah.
I have a feeling for October I'm going to be having a lot of horror-related type lists. I still have, from last year, I have my Scared Silly list, which is horror comedies, and I also have a family-friendly Fright Fest list in case you have some kids and you want to watch some PG-13 movies.
Yeah, Monster Squad.
And didn't you do like the 24-hour?
I did a 24 hours of horror last year. I might do a couple this year. Just okay.
What is that?
It's where I just make a marathon, like a list of movies to have a marathon with like a specific theme. Like last year's, the one I did was a religion centric theme. Ooh. So like Red State and The Believers, but also threw in some documentaries like Jesus Camp and what else was in there? Oh, Hell House, which is a great. Ooh. Have you seen that documentary about the?
I still need to see that
one. The Christian haunted house.
Mansion.
Yeah.
And then so go to Adam's website. He also reviews movies for MoviePass. MoviePass.
Blog.moviepass.com. I don't know what's going on with MoviePass's subscriptions, but they seem to be doing okay. So they should be offering subscriptions. Yes. Yeah. Soon.
If you are going to buy something off Amazon, just do us a favor. Click through our website, thelistfilmpodcast.com. Click on the link, and we'll get a couple dollars thrown our way through them. You know, keep this thing going. We enjoy doing it. Hopefully, you enjoy listening. And that's it, right? Anything else, Jenny?
Nope.
You're not starting a band? You don't need any band members for your band?
I need all the band members.
Are you making cupcakes again yet?
Not yet.
Halloween cupcakes.
Yeah, I need to start again. I need a pumpkin one for fall.
There you go.
All right.
I'm going to push another podcast that you've talked about on here before. Since several times you mentioned today about how certain films really made you want to go just be independent and shoot a movie, I finally listened to the Edward Burns Q&A with Jeff Goldsmith.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 2-hour Q&A about Newlyweds, but it's really good if you're an aspiring filmmaker.
And Newlyweds is actually good. Have you seen it?
I haven't yet. No, I'm going to watch it now, I think.
I saw it, and it's really well done. It was shot in the 5D, like a digital SLR camera. And literally, he's like, look, you know, like he's like, I have money, but we got to make movies for less. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of like, let's everybody, if you're a good storyteller, you should be able to make a movie. And in the podcast, it's a great podcast because he's not only like he's also a fan of the podcast.
Yeah.
So it was really good to kind of he had even more insight because he knew the questions he was going to be asked. So like literally he talks about how he shot the film, and if you watch the movie, like it's really well made for it being on the 5D. It's really well acted. Good acting.
The actual production itself, the movie was shot for $9,000. Mind you, they spent another $100 later with post and things like that.
Making prints and stuff.
Making prints, yeah. But they shot the actual movie for $9,000. It was like a series of like 12 to 14 days over like 3 months. He would just be in his car, like there was a scene, I guess, in the snow. And he's like, hey, are you guys free today? Let's get together and just shoot the scene. And this scene is in the movie. Yeah. And it's this like beautiful scene in the snow.
Yeah. So it's really good filmmaking. And I think all his movies are kind of like that way. Like, it's just like, hey, if your movie's about is kind of just people talking, like, you could make this for really cheap. You don't need to hang around and wait for an independent studio to make your movie. Like, mm-hmm. And yeah, I think he changed now. Jeff Goldsmith now has another podcast called Q&A with Jeff Goldsmith. But that one,
I think you can still get it underneath.
You might still be. It might be archived.
That's where that's where I downloaded it from. Was from his Q&A.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So check out Q&A with Jeff Goldsmith. He's got some good Q&As with a lot of good writers. If it's funny, I feel like I've learned more about filmmaking through commentaries and podcasts than I have ever in like any film class. It's just like so much. It's so much easier to learn from people's mistakes, you know. I feel like a lot of times you tell people like, oh, don't do that. And they're like, meh, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. But I'm like, I failed that way. So just try not to don't want you to fail that way. But anyway, until next time, have a good week.